Noble, Wolf River, on the border of Peru and Brazil. Chief Antonio had heard about the God in heaven in some way, but he didn't know anything about him. So he came downriver 8 days to our Bible Institute at Sabonete and talked to my colleague there, Pastor Claubert, and said, "Can I learn about your God?" And Claubert said, "Yes, you're welcome here." So for the next 3 days, Chief Antonio stayed at the Bible Institute and listened to the classes, but his Spanish and Portuguese were so poor that he just wasn't getting it. He speaks Mayoruna fluently, which is his native language. And so after 3 days, he looked at Claubert and he said, "I go away, but I come back." Claubert told me later, "I never expected to see him again." Chief Antonio went back upriver, an 8-day trip, and as he was traveling, he's thinking, "How can I understand about this God in heaven?" And he formulated a plan. When he got back to the village of Paul Hill, where he lives, he called his grandson, "Moises, come. You're going with me to the missionary's house." And so they prepared for the trip, more gasoline, more food, and in a few days they made the trip back downriver. And Claubert was so surprised to see Chief Antonio come walking up to the mission house with a young man about 13 or 14 years old in tow, eyes big as saucers, never been to a city before, and he's just looking around at everything. And Chief Antonio said, "Moises, my grandson, you teach him God, he teach me God." And he handed Moises off to Claubert and turned around and walked away. Fast forward now 7 years, from 13 to about 20, 21 years old. Moises learned Spanish, Portuguese, went to school, accepted Christ as his Savior, was baptized, trained in the Bible Institute. He was one of my students, a great young man of God. Then he went back to his people, and he has built a church there. And now they know about God, praise the Lord. He has married, he has his first child, and he communicates with me quite often. I've never been to his area, it's a restricted area. But one day I will meet all those people when we go up in the rapture, amen? So praise the Lord for what he's doing. We're going to stay with the theme, simple obedience, this morning. And so you can follow in your bulletin. There's some scripture there. Or you could take your Bible and open it to John chapter 14. And we will just build on these premises that we see about simple obedience. Our theme verse is John 14, 15. "If you love me, keep my commandments." Who said that? Jesus did. Do you love Jesus? Are you keeping his commandments? Further down in verse 21, Jesus also says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me." Then down in verse 23, we'll read a little longer passage, John 14, 23. "Jesus answered and said unto them, If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost," or the Holy Spirit, "whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." And Jesus fulfilled those words. He died on the cross. He was buried for 3 days, rose again. He was then here with us for 40 days on earth, ascended back to heaven. And 10 days later, he sent the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Praise the Lord. So we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit with us and the presence of the Holy Spirit indwelling us. What a wonderful friend. What a wonderful guide we have. One more passage I'd like to read in 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, that builds on this thing of believing, having faith in the Lord, obeying his commandments. 1 John 5, 1, Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, which is the Father, loveth him also that is begotten, who is the Son. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. They're not burdensome. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to obey the commands of our Lord. It's for our benefit. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Is Jesus the Son of God? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. He is the only way, the truth, and the life. Obedience is the path to blessing. You want blessing in your life? Obey his commands. If you love me, keep my commandments. 1 John 3:22 says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." Is that not true in the physical family realm that we live in? You as parents, if your children are obedient and obey your commands, your precepts, what you're teaching them, you with a glad heart will give them anything they want, anything that they need. But that rebellious child, that one that goes away and says no, then it's a little harder to deal with him, isn't it? It's a little harder to give him what he may ask. And so if we want the blessings of God, we need to obey him because it's for our benefit. What does Jesus say? If you love me, keep my commandments. There's blessing in obedience. There's security when we stay in the will of God. Several years ago, I had a mule whom we called Pancho. Pancho was a wonderful mule. I loved riding him. You could herd cows with him. He could turn on a dime. He was sure-footed. He didn't get all antsy and nervous like a horse will. And I had him in the pasture there. I'd never had a mule. I had a lot of horses. But I got this first mule that I'd ever had and enjoyed riding him. But I couldn't keep him in. He would get out all the time. I had three strands of barbed wire up around the fence and keep all the horses in, no problem. Every day I would go up and I'd give them feed and I'd curry them and I'd trim their hooves and take care of them. And I did the same for Pancho. But Pancho always thought the grass was greener on the other side of the fence. And the thing about a mule, he's got a hide like a crocodile. And if he can get his head through a hole in the fence, he's going to go out. And so sure enough, Pancho was always getting out. I mean, it got to the place we just carried a halter in the car all the time. And we would be dressed for Sunday, going to Sunday morning service, and somebody would call, "Pastor Russ, Pancho's out, and he's over at the Catholic priest yard eating his flowers." And so we would drive by the church there, the Catholic church, and there, sure enough, there's Pancho just munching away. And I'd say, "Lathan," to my oldest son, "get out, get Pancho, take him back to the pasture." Oh, my kids, they grew to hate Pancho. And so one night, Pancho got out. And he went to the neighboring chicken farm, backed up to the chicken house, and kicked in the door. And then he went in and ate chicken feed to his heart's content. And he got the colic. It bloated him. The next morning, the farmer neighbor called me and said, "I've got some bad news. Pancho got into the chicken house last night and ate chicken feed, and there was no one around. He got the colic, and he's laying out here dead." And my children said, "Hallelujah, Pancho's dead." You see, the place of blessing is to stay inside the fence that the Lord puts around us, isn't it? That's where there is security and blessing, and we have so many things from the Lord. Fermin is a new believer among the Yagua tribe in Colombia. He lives on the Atacuari River. He was one of the best in the coca trade. They grow coca bushes, which are similar to tea bushes. They strip the leaves from the bush, and they boil them down and put chemicals with them and make the paste that makes cocaine. And this is a lucrative business. Many indigenous people are involved in the coca trade. Of course, those that run the business are Peruvians, Colombians, Mexicans, Americans that are living there in the jungle and utilizing and exploiting the Indian people in order to become rich. Fermin was converted to the Lord Jesus. He heard the gospel and accepted Christ as Savior. And so then, soon after his conversion, he forsook the coca trade. No more of that. And he started raising honest crops. Recently, I was at his house, and his farm is just across the river from his house on the hill, and I could see across the river. He said, Pastor Russell, look over there. Do you see all that cultivation? That's my farm. Corn, melons, beans, lentils, plantain, bananas, yucca. God is blessing me. I forsook the coca trade, the fast money. Yeah, we could buy boats and televisions and outboard motors and anything that we wanted. But it's a cursed business. I want God's blessings on my life. And Fermin is the gentleman who takes me in his boat to the upper villages, further up the river, where I can't go alone. It's controlled by the narcos, the drug runners. And he said, if you go up there, they will harm you, but I can go because they know me. I was one of them. And I will go with you and tell them that you aren't CIA or DEA or one of those operations down here. You're just a plain old missionary, you know. And you're coming to preach the gospel. And we've gone up there and preached the gospel and won many people to the Lord. And our goal is to build churches in every one of those villages for the honor and glory of the Lord. So how do we prove our love to the Lord? By obeying His commandments. Secondly, what is His command with reference to world missions? That's what we're in right now, a missions conference. Mark 16:15 tells us, and He said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to every person. Lolo Yance is a believer from the Kokama tribe. As I sat on the bank of the Amazon River several years ago, we had finished a day of teaching. It was hot and sweaty, and so the coolest place is the river. And so I went down to take a bath and wash my clothes, and probably 7 or 8 more pastors came down. And after we had bathed, we were sitting on the bank of the river talking about the second coming of Christ. They want to know about the scriptures. They just soak it up like sponges. And so as they asked me questions, and I would explain to them about the rapture and the tribulation and the 1,000-year reign and the new heaven and the new earth, Pastor Lolo raised his hand and said, Pastor Russell, while we sit here and talk about the second coming of Christ, many of my people have never heard of the first coming of Christ. They don't know about the gospel. What a challenge. So we have made it our effort to buy boats and outboard motors and provide these for these gentlemen, these preachers that are going up and down these rivers to these villages and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are reaching them with the gospel. Just yesterday, I received an email from Severo Teca, who is also a Mayoruna Indian, and he said, Pastor Russell, next week I will travel upriver 8 days to the area where I'm from, and I need gasoline for my boat. Could you help me? And so I wrote him back, and I said, how many cans of gas do you need? You have to take enough to go and come back. There's no gasoline up there. And so he made the calculation and wrote back, and he said, I'll need 12 cans at 125 soles per can, which came up to about $500, about $400 for gas and $100 for food. And I said, by faith, I'll send you that money. As soon as I get through with this missions conference, I will be going back home, and I'll send you that money. He's going to many villages. He's laid out a map. He took a piece of leather and cured it, and then he drew a map of all those rivers and tributaries, and he showed it to me. He's marked every village, and he says, I'm evangelizing these people with the gospel. Praise the Lord. Oswald Smith, that great missionary, made this statement. No one has the right to hear the gospel twice until everyone has had the opportunity to hear it at least once. When Jesus multiplied the loaves and fishes and handed them to the disciples to pass out, and they had made the people sit down in groups of 50, I believe it was, on the hillside, What if the disciples had only gone to the front rows, came back and got some more from Jesus as he multiplied it, and went back to the front rows? Came back to Jesus, got some more, and went back to the front rows. What do you think the ones in the back would have been saying? Bring us some. We want some too. And so there are many back rows around the world that need to hear the gospel. Amen? And we must take the gospel to them. A third question. Who empowers us to obey the command of world evangelism? Who empowers us? The Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. In our kitchens, we have many appliances. A toaster, a microwave, a blender, a coffee maker, an air fryer, a mixer, and many other things. Each apparatus has its own function. Each does its own work. But all of them are connected to the same power source. If they're not connected, they don't work. Likewise, you and I, as members of the body of Christ, have different spiritual gifts. We all have our own function. Oh, I praise the Lord for the ladies that are taking care of the nursery right now. I wouldn't want to do it. I praise the Lord for those that clean up here on Mondays after a long service on Sunday and take care of the bathrooms and so many things like that. I thank the Lord for those who are serving the Lord in the Sunday school and the young people's ministry and the singing of the choir and the practice time that they spend here in the praise team and all those that are involved. It's not just the preacher who stands up here and preaches. There's lots of other people that are working here busy for the Lord. Amen? Each of us have our own function, but we're all filled with the same power source, the Holy Spirit of God. So we all have that blessing in our lives. Américo Flaco is a preacher from the Emberá tribe in Panama. Before his salvation, he was a drunk and a wife beater. His wife, Felicita, had accepted the Lord, and she prayed daily for her husband. She lived a godly life before him, but he wanted nothing to do with it. She just kept praying for him, fixing his food, washing his clothes, being a good wife, like 1 Peter 3:1 says, without word, by your manner of life, you can win your husband to the Lord. And she prayed daily for his salvation. Later, a medico shared his testimony with Lynn and me. And he said, one day I was out in the field working on my farm, and the power, the conviction of the Holy Spirit came so strong upon me. He said, I took my machete and I cleaned out a place there, and I fell on my face before God, and I repented of my sins, and I accepted Christ as my Savior. Several days later, we were going down the river, the Chuquanaque River, there in Panama, in the canoe. And he looked at my wife as he pointed at me, and he said, I am his son. Lynn was like, well, you're not my son. But he said, I am his son. I learn everything that he teaches us. And then I go up and down this river and I teach other villages about Jesus. Praise the Lord for workers like that. How do we fulfill this command of our Lord? With the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Christian believer, before you say, well, God has not called me to be a missionary, I just want you to hear me out on this. We can all be involved in missions, every one of us. God doesn't want everyone to go to another country, but he does want every Christian to be involved in missions, sowing the seed and sharing the message of salvation. Paul tells us in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. You see, there are three types or three categories of people related to the call of missions, the task of taking the gospel to every people group around the world. Who are they? Well, first of all, you've got the goers, those that will go. We, the missionaries, are the goers. The evangelist, those who leave their home and go to other places with the gospel. Then you've got the senders, those who stay here and support those who go. These are very necessary people too. The goer can't go without the sender sending. He's got to send the goer with his support. And then thirdly, you've got the disobedient. They're not goers. They're not senders. They aren't involved in missions. They don't send, they don't go, and they don't pray. Hopefully, none of you will say, I'm one of the disobedient. I want to be a goer or a sender for God's glory. Amen? So how do we obey this command? Romans 15, we'll read one more passage here. Romans 15, verses 20 through 24, and then I'll jump down to verse 30 if you're looking at your Bible. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel. This is the Apostle Paul, and he says, I have strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation, but as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you, but now having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into where? Spain, the uttermost part of the known world at that time. He says, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. Now I beseech you, verse 30, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Here in Romans 15, Paul informs the church at Rome that God had laid upon his heart to go to Spain. Paul says, I'm not asking you to go with me. I'm just asking that you send me. I have finished my work here in Galatia. And these areas where I've worked with Timothy and Titus and Epaphras and Priscilla and Aquila and Silas and others who have helped me in the ministry. Now, I want to go to Spain. The people in Spain need to hear the gospel. There's zero witness into Spain. And I want you to help me go. I'm coming by Rome. I'm going to visit you. I want to be filled with your company. I want to enjoy your fellowship. And then I want you to send me on to Spain with the gospel of our Lord Jesus. One of my favorite movies is Gladiator. Maximus Decimus Meridius, who was known as the Spaniard. The Spaniard. He was from Spain. I know this is a fictional movie, but it has its basis in history. And he was known as the Spaniard when he was a gladiator. And you may remember the scene, those of you who have seen it, he worshipped his little idols and he buried them in the sand of the Colosseum. Paul says, I want to go reach that people for the Lord Jesus. Amen? I want to go to Spain. They need to be saved. You know, more than one indigenous pastor has come up to me and said, Pastor Russell, you are the only missionary that ever comes to our area. No one else comes. So please, please continue to come and teach us God's word. What a challenge. So let's make this practical. As we try to draw this to a close, let's make it practical for our lives right now. Let me give you four simple things. Number one, pray. How many of you can pray? Amen? Amen? All of us can be involved in missions through prayer. We can pray for missions, for missionaries. Luke 10:2 tells us, Jesus saith unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. You see, when we pray for someone or some place or something, it creates a heart interest in us. That's the reason we have prayer cards. Back there on my table, which is on that side over there, I've got prayer cards, I've got brochures, and I want you to pick them up. They're not going to do any good on my table. I want you to take them home and put them somewhere where you'll notice them day by day and pray for Russ and Lynn Turner. Amen? Pray for us. We're in a battle, a spiritual battle. We need your prayers. Pray for Brian and Sandy Wise. Pray for Eddie and Ines Hernandez. I told them, I said, I think God's calling me to Iraq. I tell you what a burden. What a need around the world. Every missionary needs prayer support. You see, he is at the point of the spear. He's out there invading the devil's territory. Territory that the devil has controlled for ages. Paul goes on to say in Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. In the month of June, just about 3 months ago, I was down in Colombia planning to do a seminar among the Guaibo pastors. There were 30 or 40 pastors already at the village. It was called Villa Tranquila, tranquil village, but it wasn't very tranquil. And it was over across a river that we had to cross. And so a taxi man had come over on this side that morning. The river was crossable. And I hired him to take sacks of food and the Bibles and all the materials and everything and go back over there to Villa Tranquila. Well, we got out to the river about 20 minutes from the little town where I was at the hotel, and the river had risen drastically. And he says, I'm not crossing that. It'll drown out my truck. Look at the current. It'll take it downstream. And I said, I don't blame you. I wouldn't cross it either. But I said, I have all this food right here in these sacks. And there were several Indian men there, pastors as well as other men. I said, would you be willing to carry the food across the river? And they said, yes. So they loaded the sacks on their shoulders and started walking out across the river. The water kept rising, 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 got up to about their necks, but they made it across. So they would have the food over there. And I said, tomorrow I will come back and see if the river is down, because I don't want to get the Bibles and the materials wet. So I'll go back to the hotel. That night, the pastor called me from across the river, and he said, Pastor, don't come over here. On our side of the river, there's a band of renegades who are waiting for you. And they're attacking anyone that they think they could rob and steal from. And so I think the Lord let that river rise just to protect me. I'm amazed at all that Eddie and Ines go through there in Edak, and how that he shared this morning with us about that park being a place where people can come and enjoy picnics with their family. 20 years ago, it wasn't that way. My son was right there. Both of my sons were right there, fighting battles. But thank God for what we're seeing today, an open door to reach people for Christ. Amen? So we can pray for missionaries. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Our victory is in Jesus. Secondly, we can provide. Not only pray, but we can provide. All of us can support missionaries and partner with them. It'll be different amounts because we all have different incomes. But any missionary who is doing a real work for God always needs more money. He's got new projects, new churches that need to be built, new areas to be evangelized. Listen to what Philippians 4:15 says. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. The church at Philippi was the only supporting church that Paul had, is what he's saying. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Hey, when you give to missions, you are laying up treasure in heaven. It's fruit to your account. But Paul goes on to say, I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus, who was the messenger from Philippi to Paul. He says, I've received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And then the promise, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Who can claim that promise? Those who give to missions. You give to God's work, God will take care of your needs. You see, satisfaction rather, doesn't come from the abundance of your possessions. It comes from the fewness of your needs. Be satisfied with what God places in your hands. Now work for whatever you may want to get. But don't be covetous. Don't be envious of others. Depend upon God to supply those needs. You see, giving is part of our worship. You start small and let God build your faith. You give your tithe to the local church to take care of its needs. And then beyond your tithe, you give a missions offering, what we call a faith promise offering. Why is that? Because it's by faith, and it's a promise between you and God, and it's an offering that you're giving. Now, we'll be giving out these cards in just a few moments to project what this church can do for the coming year. It's got two parts here, and on this little part, It says promised each week, and there's certain amounts here where you can just check one if you want to give one of these amount. Or down here at the bottom, there's another amount. You can write in the amount you want to give. And then there's a couple of boxes there that you can just let the church know if you're increasing your faith promise or if this is the first time you are participating. Perhaps this is your first mission conference, and you're going to do this for the first time, so check that box, first time participating. But if you've already been given to the church and you're increasing your faith promise, and I hope you will, then check that box. And then after you check it, you can tear it off just like that, and you'll give this one to the ushers or whoever takes these promises up. And it doesn't have your name on it. This is a promise between you and God. Amen? If God doesn't supply it, you don't have to give it. But God will supply, I promise you. He will. And then you can take this part right here as a reminder and write your amount in my faith promise. Keep it in your Bible. And just pray to the Lord every day as you read your Bible. Now, Lord, I'm depending upon you to give me above my tithe. I'm not going to take from my tithe. My tithe belongs to the local church to take care of the needs here. But above my tithe, I'm going to give by faith so that we can support missionaries around the world. How many will say amen? Amen to that? And so allow God to do a work in your heart today. You see, when I was in Bible school back over 50 years ago, my wife and I worked as a welder and a pipe fitter in steel fabrication, and my wife and I were working as interns in a local church down in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I made about $200 a week in the 1970s, and we decided, well, we're going to be faithful in giving our tithe to the church. That would be $20 out of $200. Got $180 left, but we're not going to stop there. We're going to give to Faith Promise Missions. Our church was a big missions-giving church. And so our faith was worth about $10 at that moment. So we promised, okay, Lord, we'll give $10. So from every check, we took our tithe, gave it to the local church, took $10 and gave it to missions. And God will honor your faith. I promise you that. He will honor your faith. He will grow your faith. And He will grow the blessings in your life. And I'll tell you right now, we don't give $10 to missions anymore. We give hundreds of dollars every month to missions. My wife and I do. Praise be to God. He's the one that supplies it. So let God grow your faith. You be faithful in serving the Lord by providing. I teach the Indian people, the indigenous tribal people, to give by faith. Now, they may not have money, bills of money or coins a lot of time, but they have other things. They grow plantain. And that's their cash crop. So I tell them, when you harvest 10 stalks of plantain or bananas, one of those stalks belongs to the Lord. If you're able to sell it at the market, you separate that money and give it to the church for church projects, for missions, to help spread the gospel. And they're learning to do that. If the sow has 10 pigs, one of those pigs belongs to the Lord. And as those pigs, every day you're going out there and looking at those pigs, you probably have names for all of them. And if you go out one morning and you see Sally over there and she's dead, don't you come in and say, "Wife, Sally died. That was the Lord's pig." No, sir. That's one of yours. The Lord's pig is fat and healthy over there. And you sell that pig and give that money to the Lord. Amen? If you go out and catch 10 fish, you give one of those fish to the Lord. You can sell them here in the village. People want to buy fish. Give that fish to the Lord. Whatever you have, God will supply. You be faithful. So we can pray, we can provide, and we can promote. Now, for time's sake, I'm not going to read 3 John, but there is a story there about a man named Gaius in the church, and he's John's friend, John the Apostle. And he receives the missionaries as they come to their church, and he gives them offerings, and he helps them on their way to carry the gospel. Because the missionary doesn't go out to the Gentiles, to the pagans, and say, "Will you help me?" No, God's people helps the missionaries. Amen? But there's another fella in that same church named Diotrephes. And he wants to have the preeminence. He's the big boss. And he doesn't like to give to missions. He's got that attitude, us four and no more, you know. Keep everything right here. And so he forbids the people to help the missionaries. And if anybody does help the missionary, he kicks them out of the church. And John says, when I come to visit y'all, we're going to have a come to God meeting. Well, I'm going to confront that fellow. That's not right. You know, even in churches, there are people that oppose missions. I've started a number of churches, and we always built a big missions program and gave money to missions. But then as years went on, I turned those churches over to national pastors. And not every national pastor has been a missions-minded pastor. And I've noticed as he starts enclosing himself and wanting the offerings for himself and not reaching out, that church goes on a downward spiral. They start losing people. The offerings start going down because he wants to keep it for himself. No, sir. We need to give it out so that other people can hear the word of God. So promote missions. Be a promoter. So you may say, well, how can I be involved in missions? I've given you three things right here. Pray, provide, and promote. And you haven't had to leave your hometown yet. You're still right here, aren't you? But let's close with one more thing. Prepare. There might be someone here this morning that's saying, Pastor, God's really working on me. I think he's calling me to go. And I want to say yes. Isaiah 6:8, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. In Genesis 24:27, the servant of Abraham, as he went to look for a wife for Isaac, and he found Rebekah, he said, I, being in the way, the Lord led me. You just get in the way that the Lord has for you. You get busy right here in the local church, and I promise you, the Lord will guide you. He'll prepare you, and then he'll use you for his glory. Missions is for every Christian, every one of us. Every one of us has his own sphere of influence, of people that you will talk to, of people that you will reach. I'll never see them. You won't see my sphere of influence. I won't see yours. So we have to be faithful in our own sphere of influence, reaching those people. Missions is for every generation until Jesus comes back. You see, every 20 years, there's a new generation. Another generation has been born and grown up. And as long as there are sick people, we're going to need doctors and nurses and hospitals. And as long as there's lost people, we need pastors and evangelists and missionaries and Christians who will share their faith with others. Amen? Missions is for every generation. And missions needs more volunteers. So if God is calling you, why don't you say yes? And parents, if God is calling your children, don't be a hindrance to them. God didn't write us a check. He sent us his son. So be willing to give your children to go to the mission field. I can remember those days when our kids were small and we were leaving my in-laws over here in Kentucky where my father-in-law pastored, and there were tears in their eyes as we walked away and took those grandchildren from them. And we went for several years to the field. But, oh, there were tears of joy as well as sadness because we knew that we were doing what God had called us to do. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. So as we go into a moment of invitation, think about what I've shared with you. You can pray for missions. You can provide for missions. You can promote missions. You can prepare for missions. What is God telling you this morning? Why don't you open your heart to the Lord right now? I know the vast majority are Christian people here this morning. But perhaps there's a person here without Christ. Listen, the same gospel that will save the heathen across the seas is the gospel that will save you. It's the same gospel. It's the gospel that saved me. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If you're here without Christ, I challenge you, come today. Come and talk to Pastor Travis. Say, Pastor Travis, I need to be saved. I don't want to go to hell. I want to have eternal life. Come this morning. And then, Christian, will you be willing to just say, Lord, here I am. Send me. What do you want me to do? It might be to stay right here in this county. It might be to go to somewhere else in Virginia or in some other part of the United States. Or it might be to go across the seas to some other country. Will you just surrender your heart to the Lord this morning?